Sullivan Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. From the southwest deserts to the Atlantic beaches of Florida, U.S. temperatures are pretty uniform, meaning uniformly hot, above normal. Our report comes from one of the hottest places, Palm Springs, California, correspondent Carter Evans.
The temperature reading of the blacktop right now is at 165.
Battalion Chief Greg Lyle says with street temperatures that high, many calls can end up with a trip to the burn unit.
And something as simple as just a traffic accident, a bicycle get hit by a car, and the individual falls on the street. We're dealing with an injury that was caused and then also now possibly burns.
Phoenix has been above 110 every day for more than 3 weeks now. Still no real relief in sight. President Biden nominating the first woman member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Lisa Marchetti. She would become the Chief of Naval Operations, but she needs the Senate to confirm that appointment. Right now, the Senate is not confirming any military promotions. That because of one senator's problem with a Pentagon policy.
Senator Tommy Tuberville of Alabama is currently blocking all senior officer promotions and confirmations in protest of a Pentagon policy that pays for travel when a service member has to travel outside the state where they are assigned to seek an abortion.
CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland. Overseas Russian cruise missiles have destroyed several farm storage buildings in the Odessa region of Ukraine. And in France, another milestone in the reconstruction of a world-famous cathedral, Elaine Cobb reports.
4 years ago, the world looked on in horror as Notre Dame was engulfed in flames. The cathedral's iconic spire, made of oak and metal, was swallowed by the blaze. Astonishingly, most of the church survived, but the 19th century spire was destroyed. Now, teams of artisans measure, saw, and chisel centuries-old oak to rebuild it to its original design, combining the methods of the past with the tools of today.
In sports, a memorable U.S. pro soccer debut for superstar Lionel Messi in Fort Lauderdale. WFOR-TV's Mike Cuyo was there.
We saw Lionel Messi get subbed in the second half, and it was tied at 1-1 in stoppage time. 94th minute, he's got a free kick. And you know what was going to happen. He absolutely buries this thing. Lionel Messi scores the game winner in his first Inter Miami appearance, his first MLS appearance. This ball club, this league, no one could have drawn up a night quite like this.
While in New Zealand, the U.S. women's soccer team going for a third consecutive World Cup championship, starting off with a 3-0 win over Vietnam, Sophia Smith scoring twice, adding an assist. This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand. Nothing on my skin, that's my new place.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With Skyrizi, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, 2 different times, 1 fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 56. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. A mix of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 57. Mainly cloudy skies expected.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 61.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should the Supreme Court adopt a code of conduct? And if yes, who should create it? 844-967-2789. What do you think? I mean,
everybody else has them.
Everybody else has them. The lower courts has them. And not because, and this is not necessarily because you think of what's been happening lately and the ProPublica reports and everything, but just in general, even if it was a liberal-dominated court, because there has been cases of liberal justices, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah.
RIP. And even recently, Sotomayor.
Taking little gifties.
And would we all, would it, you know, restore the integrity of the court and public opinion if there was more transparency, if there was clarity? And if you agree with that, who should create it? Should they create it themselves? Should retired justices make it? Should Congress make it? Congress is attempting to make it right now. I don't think it's going to go very far, but the Democratic-led Senate Judiciary Committee advanced legislation yesterday to require the Supreme Court to set up a code of conduct, tighten financial disclosures, and bolster recusal requirements for justices. And so, again, would love to hear from you on your thoughts on what's to be done with the lack of code of ethics that is written and transparent and clear. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But yesterday, the vote on the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act was, not shockingly, 11-10 along party lines, and with Republicans adamantly opposing. And the bill would cover, the bill would basically give the court 180 days to adopt and publish a code of conduct and allow the public to submit ethics complaints that randomly selected panels of lower court judges would review. It would establish new rules for disclosure of gifts and travel, and it would impose recusal rules pertaining to gifts, income, and other potential conflicts. Now, there's obviously, in this partisan environment, Republicans are basically saying absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because in this, even though it came out of committee they need Democrats would need 9 more Republicans to sign on to overcome the filibuster. And even if they did that, this would have to get through the House.
Oh, that'll never happen.
So this is, I think, what did I see as the, there was a great quote from what I was reading about this. Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, predicted the bill would not become law. This thing's dead as fried chicken on the Senate floor, he said, and it's as dead as fried chicken in the House. I didn't know if that's a Louisiana saying, but okay.
Nice accent attempt there. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Dave from Mequon. Good morning, Dave. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. I agree with both of you. I think the more transparency, the better. I do think that it should apply to all facets of our government. I mean, if you look at Congress and all the, kind of like shady, stock end of things and, kind of like little tips and things, you got that going on. And as far as Sotomayor, I didn't realize she almost made almost $4 million on the books that, that she had her, the people working for, pushing the universities to buy these books and what have you. And that's fine as long as it's declared. I mean, but I think it's important, though, to your point, that we have that out in the open, because a lot of people in Congress and they're extremely wealthy. They're in the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the amount of percentage of the people in Congress and in the Senate, they're in the 1%. It's like way overkill. And there's a reason for that. And it's because there's a lot of what I would call, things that are not reported that are, happening. And, Tom in L.A. always calls, we got to get money out of politics. And I agree with him. But if we're not going to do that, then we need to really see the full scope of what the heck is going on in our government, top to bottom.
Totally. I actually totally agree, Dave. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks, Dave.
Because I think there's a really great op-ed / interview with a former judge named Jeremy Fogel, who is the executive director of Berkeley at the Berkeley Judicial Institute, and he was a California state judge for a long time. It's in the Washington Post, and I was reading it this morning as I kind of was trying to, tangle with where am I on this.
Sure.
And, he says along the lines of something like, it's not that he thinks this court is unethical, but it's the fact that in this, this was the quote. He said, you had an institution that was very highly respected, the most highly respected institution of government. And now those numbers have just been dropping like a rock. And I think it's a combination of polarizing social issues that are being decided by the court because Congress is not able to act in that area, and social media. So you have a lot more light shined on the court, perhaps, than there's ever been before. When you have this kind of polarized political environment and you don't have transparent rules, which they don't have, then what people do is say, oh, well, Justice X or Justice Y voted the way he or she did because they were flying in people's private airplanes or people bought their books. And I think that's really unfortunate because I think it makes people think that justices don't have any ethical integrity. They need more transparency, more clarity, a common set of rules and procedures. As long as they don't, they are going to have people who are going to question. And I think that's basically what's happened, right?
It's
are the cases that have been coming from the courts that have such monumental consequences on so many people, and any iota of impropriety has the people who are on the other side of their decisions saying, it makes it very easy for them to say, well, you got paid off.
Exactly. You just make yourself look worse.
And so it's not even like a punitive thing. And I guess, that's where it becomes like, is Congress the right people to sign this, like to actually impose this or not? But it's like, even for your own, for the sake of your own entity, government entity, don't you want the public to trust you?
Or do they just not care? They don't care. It's like, hey, we're here. We're here for, we're here for a lifetime term. Too bad.
We're just,
so sad.
We're just here. 844-967-2789. Should the Supreme Court have a code of conduct? And if so, who should write it? Which body should write it? Should they write it themselves? And just as long as it's clear, that's enough. Is it from Congress? 844-967-2789.
I think the prospect of allowing them to write their own code of ethics is hilarious. I really do. That does. Let's let felons write their own codes for their paroles. I just, you have to have some kind of an independent body to make those decisions. Yeah, we'll make our own rules about us. And we love us and we're great.
But also, I mean, not that I'm defending them because I don't know what they would come up with. But if the good faith of to do this is to improve their status, improve public opinion on them, if they came up with a total BS set of the code of like BS code of conduct, they'd still get pushback and it wouldn't actually help their cause. And so I do ultimately think, as much as, you know, it's easy to characterize or like make these people into caricatures of like how good or bad they are, ultimately, like, I do think they have some ethics and integrity. Jane's not so sure.
That's because you're such a nice, kind, hopeful person. Text from the 541. Get a group of 102 individuals not employed by any state or federal agency to review existing codes and create new ones. Each governor can appoint one person. Mayor of the capital city appoints the second for each state plus D.C. Or how about a single code of conduct for all federal employees? Contract, legislative, judicial, executive, drawing for a federal paycheck. If your representative senator wants that for the other party but not for themselves, what could they be hiding? And Bill from Oconomowoc is coming up. Bill, we got about 2 minutes left. What do you want to say?
Real quick. We can't let criminals run criminals. Now, the Supreme Court, I don't know if I call it criminal, but boy, it's citing that way. They're taking bribes. They're taking money. And your text that you mentioned, civilian review board by civilians, that's balanced. In other words, you need 50-50. You need both sides' opinion to write the rules of conduct. And the first rule of conduct would be you can't be under suspicion for any criminal activity or any charges that are pending that voids you from ever running for office for your life. We have to have non-criminals involved in government. We have too many criminals in government, and they get so far as to run their own kangaroo court. Jim Jordan, perfect example, outstanding subpoena. So anyhow, thanks for letting me rant, and you guys have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend, Bill.
And you can call and rant, Bill.
Anytime. We will always take your call.
844-967-2789.
Kangaroo court. I feel like that's something that I have to bring back and use more. It's a good term.
It is a good term.
But we would love to hear from you. Should the Supreme Court adopt a code of conduct? And if so, which body should be in charge of writing it and being the oversight of it? 844-967-2789. We have a couple of comments on the live stream that we'll read when we come back. We'll get to your text and your calls right after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In other words, I love you.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays. With WAUK.halfoffdeal.com, you'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and events. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on tickets to the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. That's right, save 50% on tickets for this year's Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd. The Milwaukee Air and Water Show continues to be Wisconsin's premier free family event of the summer and one of the top air shows in the Midwest. Gates open open up at 9 a.m. both days. Have a splash with the water show from 10 to 11:30. Be amazed with the air show at 12 p.m. and witness the Blue Angels around 3 p.m. For more details about the event, log on mkeairwatershow.com. Save 50%. See the show, the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at wauk.halfoffdeal.com. That's wauk.halfoffdeal.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 59 overnight under mainly clear skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. High temperatures reach up to 83. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. Partly cloudy skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News on 540 AM WAUK.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-wah, 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 do-wah.
No, it don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is swing.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are talking about a code of conduct for the Supreme Court, whether or not they should have one. And I think a lot of people in the abstract think that they should.
I think a lot of people assumed that they already did.
Yeah. I think when it gets to the partisan nature of the rulings that have been coming down, there is a protective nature over what you're attacking. And if you're attacking the conservative justices versus the concept in general that every justice should apply, the same rules should apply to everyone.
Yes, all of them. Liberal, conservative, whatever.
But I would say, so the problem becomes, if we can all agree that they should have one, who should actually write it? And the Senate Democrats are taking charge or have taken charge and passed their bill on this through committee, the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act.
Oh, that just flows right off the...
Well, it doesn't have a great acronym, like the Dairy Pride Act or right. the CURD Act.
Right.
But, you know, I think we can probably guess this is fairly DOA, considering the hurdles it would have to, the bipartisan hurdles it would have to go through, and the left and right are very much not on the same side right now. But it still feels like, for the sake of the court and their legitimacy, they got to do something, right?
I think for the ones who have been there for a long time, they really think they're above it all. They do.
And it's interesting, in that same op-ed that I said from Washington Post, that was an interview with Jeremy Fogel, he had this to say about the lower courts. And I thought this was interesting. And it's also interesting, I think, when he talked specifically or mentioned Kagan, who came up through the lower courts. But he said, if you're a lower court judge in the federal system, or if you're a state court judge at any level, including the Supreme Courts in the states, you have rules you have to follow. And those rules actually cause people to feel restricted in the things they can and cannot do. And people complain about it. And he talks about how he had it when he was in the 1980s, and he used to teach ethics classes and to new judges. And they said, really, I can't support my friend Charlie for the school board. I can't go to this event. And he said, what happens to the lower court judges on every level, including in the federal courts, is that they learn to live with those limitations. And there is a perception among them that the justices don't feel the same constraints. There's a widespread perception that they don't feel those constraints. I want to be clear, I don't think the justices are unethical. I think the justices need to make a statement that the ethics are important. Because he said, I mean, because he was a judge for so long, and that he said, he's like, it's not that, like, I was never asked because everyone knew that I couldn't say yes in those lower courts as far as, like, flying on people's private jets. Like, I was never asked to go do these things. Because it was very clear of what the limitations were.
Right.
And so it's like, if there was limitations on the Supreme Court, would they just not be asked? Because I don't think that, like, it's like you can't just live in a bubble. Like, those nine people can't just live in isolation. But if there's no line in the sand, can't you always point to, well, look who you're hanging out with?
Well, and I mean, Harlan Crow has been helping out Clarence Thomas for decades.
Yeah. Well, maybe basically since he got in the court.
Pretty much. And again, I just think there is no attitude for change among those nine. Life is good, baby. Life is good. Why would I screw up this gig?
Because you don't think that they're called to, by the time you get to the Supreme Court, you don't think they're called to by some kind of higher ethical standard or integrity. You think that they're actually just like the lowest among us as far as
they're still humans.
I know, but think about how many humans you know who have a code of ethics and they're on their own of what they will or will not do without payment.
But they're not getting offered to go on $500,000 cruises to Tahiti from their, you know, somebody they're doing business with. I don't think that they're superior human beings, even though the name says supreme.
I don't think they're superior human beings, but I also don't think they're the lowest among us. And I know plenty of people who have a lot of integrity who would say no without, like, who would say no because of just what their morals are.
But again, you are a kind, hopeful, optimistic person.
But so you're saying that I am the exception and that the fact that, like, my assumption of other people and that there's lots of good people out there is the exception and not the rule.
Yes.
Okay.
Tragically.
We'll agree to disagree.
Oh, that's fine. I wish I could be more like you. I do. I wish I could believe more. I just, at this age, I just don't.
I mean, it just goes back to what it was this week. We were talking about Hanlon's razor and the never attribute to malice, which can adequately which can adequately be explained by stupidity.
Stupidity, yeah.
So I don't know. It was also interesting to round out this topic because when we come back from the break, Dominic Salvia from the Devil's Advocates is going to be here for a roundup of the week. But oh God, where is it? Now I have to find it. But basically, you know. Once again, in the same way that we talk about bipartisan bills that actually get passed that never get any attention, just as a reminder, in this court right now, only 9% of the court's 57 cases this term came down to a 6-3 ideological split. 45% of the court's decisions were unanimous.
Wow.
16% were decided by a majority coalition of three liberal justices joined by Republican-appointed justices. And this one, Justice Brett Kavanaugh sided with Democratic-appointed Elena Kagan more than he did with Clarence Thomas, an 81% to 61%.
Wow.
So this is not like every case that's coming out is just 6-3 and that everything's one-sided. I think there is more gray, per usual, than them just trying to get away with whatever they want to get away with. But we can agree to disagree, Jade.
That works for me.
All right. When we come back, Dom Salvia will be here. And he's going to tell us what the best, the worst, and the weirdest of this week were. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Are you a veteran who needs assistance? Do you know a veteran who needs help? Those who bravely served our country should not have to worry about how they will afford their next meal, where they will sleep at night, or feel alone dealing with mental health or substance use issues. Help might be closer than you think. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county veteran service officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as medical care, financial and legal assistance, housing, mental health services, substance use treatment, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit wisvets.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
Put a frog in a pot of boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in a pot of cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As a metaphor for us and all that we go through as veterans, it's a story that rings true. We learn to endure the heat in silence. We apply what we learn to life, the bills, the job, the family, things we're expected to handle with ease. When life heats up around us, we just try to stay afloat. We let the water boil. Reaching out isn't easy, but you've never been interested in easy. You join because you are not afraid of hard work. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait until the water boils. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
I didn't ask to be thrown in the streets with nowhere to go. I didn't think I'd survive. But I did ask for help, and Covenant House was there for me.
1 in 10 young adults will experience a form of homelessness this year. For these kids who didn't ask to be put in this unthinkable situation, Covenant House is there.
Covenant House helped me break the cycle of homelessness in my family. They gave me the love that I needed.
Over 2,000 young people will sleep safely in a Covenant House bed tonight. When youth who are experiencing homelessness have a hot meal, a safe place to sleep, medical care, and love, they can overcome heartbreaking challenges and have a brighter future.
They just really genuinely just wanted to help me succeed, and I'm succeeding. I'm a speaker, I'm an author. Covenant House really helped me and really helped mold me into the woman I am today.
If you or someone you love is asking for help, go to safeplacetosleep.org today.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR.
Partly cloudy skies overnight with lows around 56. Winds out of the northwest around 5 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82. A mix of clouds and sun. Chance for scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 57. Mainly cloudy skies expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently it's 61.
Entertained and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
The Saturday dance, heard they crowded the floor, couldn't bear it without you, don't get around much anymore.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, she is Jane Madinair, and it is time for our Friday Civic Media crossover with another host on the Civic Media Network. And this week we are welcoming in studio Dominic Salvia, one of the devils, one half of the devil's advocates, is here
the
better half. I think, yeah, we'll say that. We'll go with that. Twist our arm.
Sure. Kristen and Jane, great to see you both. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it. So it's so much fun when we get together. But can I chime in on the last conversation just a moment?
What we were just talking about?
Yeah,
the Supreme Court. Yeah.
So as I was driving, I was listening to hear what you had going on. And to me, the question is, why should the Supreme Court not adopt the current federal judiciary ethics code?
Yeah.
That's the only question. You know what I'm saying? Hey, everyone else has it. You agree that everyone else should have it. What is it about you that you don't think you should have the same thing? And just let's hear the answer to that.
Because they haven't, as far as I know, they have not answered that yet.
Because they think they're supreme.
They think they're supreme. Well, but they're that's not supremes. Really an answer. Like, what is it about the current federal judiciary ethics, you know, limitations that applies to everybody else on the states? And, you know, like, everyone has their own thing. What is it about you? What is it about the Supreme Court that thinks beyond that you're supreme? Of course, that's a very general response. But, like, detail, what is it? I mean, if you think it's okay to accept $500,000 trips, well, then to me, why are you not accepting bags of cash? I mean, what is the limitation? If that's okay, then there is zero limitation.
But it's also interesting that, like, what, where, who, what, where was the decision when, like, the code of ethics for the rest of the, all of the lower courts, but yeah, they're like, we're not going to do it for them. And was the, like, kind of lofty ideological reason, like, well, they're above, like, yeah, of
right,
course, because they
as,
are the Supreme
James
Court.
Says, right.
Like, but not from, because they themselves are saying that, but because that was the assumption of, I don't know, because I don't even know the history of when the code of ethics for everyone else got in, like,
right,
put into place,
right,
and who decided that much.
And whatever that is. And we should know these things. We don't. There's lots of things to know.
Lots of things to not, yeah.
But why, if that would be the case, why not follow that same process? Whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? We have codes of ethics for everything else. And there's reasons for it, and there were processes and how they got there. You could just use the same processes and reasoning and apply it to the Supreme Court.
I agree.
Because if it doesn't need to be applied to the Supreme Court, then why does it need to be applied to and enforced on
lower courts? Yeah. No,
I'm just asking questions here. You know what I'm saying?
Just asking questions. Yeah. Just asking questions.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who I'm talking
and
about.
Many people, and many people are saying, but anyway.
All right. Well.
All right, so thank you for that.
Yes. No, it's great to get your opinion on it. I'm sure you guys have talked about this a fair amount on Devil's Advocates, which you can listen to anytime across the Civic Media Network, or any day of the week, I should say, between 4 and 6 p.m., so I'm excited to hear this. What's been so fun about this segment since we started it in June, so this is like our sixth week of doing it, is asking each of our colleagues when they come in the best, worst, and weirdest of the week and the range of the interpretation of stories that come in. And so I'm very excited to see what you have come up with, Dom. So what was the best story of the week, in your opinion?
A lot of pressure, Kristen. You know, I didn't get the homework assignment
until
this morning.
I was a little late.
All right. So the best. To me, of course, at the Devil's Advocates, Crudy and I talk about the politics. We're always into the politics. Well, you know, go off into other areas occasionally, but we always come back to politics. And for me, the best story of the day was of the week was Donald Trump himself revealing that he had received a target letter from Jack Smith, yep, and the DOJ for his role in the insurrection on January 6th, and the freak out that occurred after that. That to me is the most outstanding story of the week.
Well, was it different than it has been? Because I feel like this has been part of the playbook with the other indictments. He's the one who denounces that he's been indicted. He's the one who riles up people who are upset that he's been indicted. And then
he fundraises off.
And then he fundraises off.
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
So it's like, was this any different? Because I have to be totally honest, and I know it's important, and Jane and I have talked about this. You guys talk about this all the time, yeah, with Trump. And like for me with this show, because I try to find things that have like a new angle or like you can say something new about it with new information. And the Trump stuff, and I'm not saying it's not important, just feels like a hamster wheel.
Same thing over and over and over.
Same
and
thing.
Over,
it's like, what new question am I going to ask the audience that is going to elicit any thought-provoking, different opinion? Because we just keep doing this until something's going to be finally settled. So, sure, like for you this week, was this different than it's been?
It was, because specifically the January 6th insurrection charge. This has been a big focal point for us. I mean, like, we witnessed the attempt to overthrow the government, right? And there's been very little with the short of the, you know, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and those that got caught up in the moment and a few real estate agents
the
and
plebeians,
a couple of politicians and some former Marines. You know, the upper echelon of that plot has not really been flushed out, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's progress there. And that's the encouraging part to me because, I mean, this has been a couple of years now. You know what I'm saying? And lots of other people have been prosecuted. Hell, they're still picking up some of the rioters, like, now, right yeah, now, there's still yeah. people out there. So, yes, the consistency. Trump's going to cry. Trump is Trump. Trump's going to be Trump. The reaction, the mega Republicans are going to react as the mega Republicans mm-hmm. react. But when the topics change from the documents case, you know, the security. I mean, man, yeah. that's a big deal too. And now we're finally getting this addressed. I mean, this should have happened a year ago, you know, at a minimum. So it's relieving to. Know that this is starting
it's
to flow
moving
through.
Forward.
So you're right in the sense. It feels like deja vu. It's like Groundhog's Day, you know. But that is because the Republicans react the same every single time. Oh, this is weaponization. Talk about weaponization of the government. Well, what did Donald Trump do? Mm-hmm. He turned the DOJ. He went after the Lisa Strzok and Page. You know, the lovers. I mean, he tried to use the IRS to. Do audits on folks. I mean, so he knows about the weaponization of government. He actually encouraged it. So when they come out and throw it, say, hey, you know, the liberal FBI, you know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of hippies over at the FBI. Are you kidding me? why are they persecuting Trump? Because Trump keeps breaking the law.
Yeah.
And I would say if this was Obama, if this were Clinton, sure. Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm very consistent in what I want to see as far as, you know, blind justice being pursued. And so, obviously, to me, the Republicans and the GOP, it's not mega. There is no party of Lincoln anymore. To see their continued fealty to this, just and they get lower and lower and lower. I mean, the party of personal responsibility, you know what I'm saying? Fiscal responsibility. Yeah, come on. Not at all. Family values, you know what I mean?
Small government.
Limited government, right. Let's talk about government forced birthing, you know what I mean? I mean, who does that? Who's in for that? Well, it's the megas. So when we see Donald Trump freaking out, and remember, on Sunday, he tweeted out, I don't know if you don't remember this, but he on his Truthy Social.
I was going to say, did he tweet it out or was it on Truthy Social?
It was on Truthy Social, and he had to delete it and re-socially it because he talked about referencing an Insurrection Act instead of the Espionage Act. So he knew on Sunday, and he waited a couple of days to get their story out and da-da-da-da-da. So and it's very similar to his reaction on the documents case
yeah,
as well.
Of
so
course.
That's encouraging. I'm loving that part of it. It's comedy and tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Because, wow, what a crap show. And these guys are idiots, and this is awesome to see this go down. But, of course, this is our government. This is us. This is a reflection of us. I mean, this is we get the government we deserve, and we overran our own capital. We as a country, because we as a country, as the megas, believed in this big lie and this continued conspiracy. And let me throw another one out there, if I may. Dana Nessel, the AG from Michigan, stepping up and charging 16 fraudulent electors. Josh Cole. that's also
he's been
to
pretty
me,
quiet this week.
Yeah, he's been
pretty quiet this week.
Again, you know, further because we talk about these individual parts of the bigger piece and taken alone individually. Whatever. But no, this was a plan. This was sounds like a conspiracy theorist, but this was a conspiracy to, you know, prevent the peaceful transfer of power to keep a guy who lost in power. I don't know what is more detrimental to a representative of federal republic, however you want to describe this country, than someone who lost trying to use the forces of their own government to stay in power. I mean, that seems to me like, I don't know, King George kind of stuff.
Our guest is Dominic Salvia from Devil's Advocates. You can catch them every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. And I just want to throw in, you were mentioning the documents case. Judge Eileen Cannon did schedule the trial to begin in May of next year, May 2024.
Yeah. Which is maybe a good segue, because what is your worst story of the week, Tom?
Well, that just came out today, and that's pretty bad. I'd like to see a more speedy trial. I think the country deserves that. Hell, Trump deserves that. So I'm anxious to see how the government reacts to this May of next year trial, because that means anything that happens will conclude after the election. There's other cases, which is good news, but you know, people should know. You know what we should know as voting citizens. you know, who's on the ballot and what they're accused of and what the deal is. And having a trial prior to that, present the evidence to a jury, you know, to the American people, let us decide. Because right now, nobody knows. They don't know. I mean, a lot of Republicans would say, oh, no big deal, no big deal. And Biden this and Hillary that and the server. And like, what if? We don't know. But what if all of a sudden there's a money transfer to Deutsche Bank to one of Trump's corporations, or, you know, there's documentation. They gave information on Khashoggi to the Saudis and, you know, Jared got $2 billion. What if there's a paper trail for any of the information, any of the document stuff? We don't know any of that stuff. We don't know what we don't know. So the fact that there's enough evidence to bring these charges, and this is not by Biden, this is not by Jack Smith, this is by a jury, a grand jury. And many of those people in the grand jury were Trumpsters. I mean, this is from Florida, man. You know what I mean? And this is in his area. So that to me is good. I mean, even Eileen Cannell, I'm not a fan. If that goes through, I'm still confident that the government has a strong case. And if you're able to get through, regardless of the timeline, with a Trump-appointed judge in a Trump county that leans red with a bunch of Trump supporters on the jury, and he's still found guilty, how are you going to spin that to be a, well, it was a witch hunt? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sure there's some people out there.
Well, they'll still say it.
Oh, for sure.
They could say it. Doesn't mean it's
but yeah,
true.
That is something to because we have a very late primary, and that May 24th is even after what our primary will be for the Republican Republican prior, because ours is always in the early April, right?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. With the 3 minutes that we have left, Dom, what was the weirdest story of the
week? Oh, man. Okay. Well, let me go with the worst. Okay. That was the worst. I got two, and they both involve.
You got 3 minutes. Okay. So then I'm cutting you off.
I got it. MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yes.
All right. The worst moment, the Hunter Biden junk pics in a congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Totally unnecessary. Terrible. Terrible. The weirdest thing, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Next week, this very same committee, I believe, Comer's committee, is going to investigate and have witnesses on Wednesday, I believe, of the unidentified aerial phenomena. You know, we used to call them UFOs, but it's totally different now.
Totally different.
Yeah. So don't talk about UFOs. This is wackadoodle. It's UAPs. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she thinks they might be angels, and she did some research into it.
I did not hear this one.
So there's that.
There's that.
There's that. That's pretty weird.
That is pretty weird. The UFO thing, I think, is I love that it's now come full circle where there's people who think that there's a reason behind the government now talking more about unidentified objects and UFOs to distract. Like, well, this is just the distraction now. But like before, for so long, the government was keeping this a secret.
Right.
But now that they actually want to tell us more information about it, they're like, well, that's not real. They're just doing that to distract us from the real things.
Right,
like the real investigations that should be going on. It's like, oh, geez. All right. Well, that was a very good roundup.
Oh, well, why, thank you.
You did your homework well. Sorry to have sprung it on you so late,
that's
Bob.
Okay. I had to dig deep and study hard.
All right. Well, when we come back, now we'll really put you to the test, because we have an actual quiz that we do every week with headlines from the week. It's multiple choice. It's you versus Jane.
Uh-oh.
You each get three questions, and then there's one quick answer. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
It's awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore. Oh, baby, don't get around much anymore.
It's time to turn Fridays into Fry-yays with WAUK.halfoffdeal.com. You'll find deals for spots around town like restaurants, spas, and events. This Friday at 8 a.m., you'll save 50% on tickets to the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. That's right, save 50% on tickets for this year's Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd. The Milwaukee Air and Water Show continues to be Wisconsin's premier free family event of the summer and one of the top air shows in the Midwest. Gates open
open up at 9 a.m. both days. Have a splash with the water show from 10 to 11:30. Be amazed with the air show at 12 p.m. and witness the Blue Angels around 3 p.m. For more details about the event, log on mkeairwatershow.com. Save 50%. See the show, the Milwaukee Air and Water Show, July 22nd and 23rd on the lakefront at Bradford Beach. Save this Friday at 8 a.m. at wauk.halfoffdeal.com. That's wauk.halfoffdeal.com.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 59 overnight under mainly clear skies. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 83. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Lows dip down to about 61. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show on 540 AM WAUK.
Hey, John.
Yes, sir.
Come on, let's have a drink.
Yes, sir.
It's 2:45. There's no one in the place except you and me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are here with Dom Salvia of The Devil's Advocates, who is our guest for our Civic Media crossover on Fridays. And do you know why Jane keeps playing Tony Bennett songs?
I know he passed away. I know.
96.
96. That's quite the run.
That's a hell of a run, man.
And I just read that he's like one of the only artists in history to have hits from the 50s all the way into the aughts.
Wow.
That's incredible. It's he was performing well, up until the end.
Oh, yeah.
His special that he did with Lady Gaga was, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Well, he's had Alzheimer's for 7.
But I think he certainly was still performing despite having Alzheimer's.
Right. But what an incredible talent. What a wonderful life.
Yeah, absolutely. So much fun. And honestly, you know, I'm more of a metalhead, so I appreciate the thought of Tony Bennett more than, but I remember, you know, growing up and my parents and grandparents, you know, listening to all this, all the Italians, you know, they love this
stuff. Of course. Yeah. I was gonna say, the Italian connection is strong.
Big time.
All right. Well, I also realized I forgot to add Wisconsin questions to this, so we're gonna have a five question quiz this week, which is fine. And if I can come up with one on the spot, maybe we'll do it because this is clearly a very serious quiz.
Oh yeah,
it was very high stakes.
A lot on the line here, Dom.
So basically,
so much pressure.
We go through. There's multiple choice questions of headlines from this week. So maybe some more obscure.
I need a pencil?
You do not need a pencil.
There's a worksheet where you can work out the calculation.
And because you're the guest, you get to decide if you want to go first or second.
I will go second. I'll defer to Jane.
All right.
Okay.
Jane, ahead of the World Cup, many women's soccer players have been afflicted by which injury? A, a sprained ankle. B, concussion. C, ACL tear. 4, turf toe.
I'll go with C.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
You got it right. ACL.
That was a complete guess.
I like how that you've added some sound effects.
It only took me a year.
Can I get an Ooga
horn, please? We'll come back to that in a second. All right, Dominic.
Yes.
GOP presidential hopeful North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum is using which gimmick to try and get enough donations to secure a spot on the debate stage? Is it A, raffling off front row tickets to Messi's first Inter-Miami game? B, giving backers a 10% cut of the donations they bring in? C, offering a chance to win a personal shout-out from the debate stage? Or D, handing donors $20 gift cards?
$20 gift cards.
It is indeed.
Yeah,
is that legal?
That sounds... No. That sounds not legal.
Like electioneering, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Well, there's. I guess it's just donations. It's not votes.
Right. It's not votes. So you can do what you want. All you got to do, because you got to get on the stage, right? That's what.
Yeah, you got to get enough donations to get on the stage. But that is.
That sounds really on the line there.
It also feels like if you can't get the reason that the barrier to entry is there is to prove that you have enough support.
Or money to be
legitimate.
And if you got enough money, you can get the support. You can buy your support, literally.
Yeah, and so the fact that it feels like this is not a good start for you, Doug.
Well, and it sounds very apropos to the GOP mega. I mean, that's how they do it, right? It's capitalism.
Yeah, because I feel like when the Senate race last year, Stephen Alacara, he like by the skin of his teeth got enough whatever the barrier to entry was, like at the last minute
to get on,
got on the stage, and he did a great job.
He did.
All right, number three, Jane. Which university announced this week that it will end legacy admissions? Is it A, Vanderbilt, B, Wesleyan, C, Columbia, D, Notre Dame?
It is Vanderbilt.
It is not.
Oh, rats!
Wesleyan.
Ah. Oh.
All right.
I was so confident.
You were really confident.
Rats.
How are rich white kids going to get into school now, man?
They still got tutors. They still got SAT prep classes. They'll be fine.
They're going to go by the content of their character, I guess.
Absolutely.
Now, right?
All right, Dom. A North Carolina teen was allegedly detained for buying a multi-stop airline ticket with no intention of using both segments. What's this money-saving hack called? So do you know what I'm...
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
So is it A, trip bagging, B, stop flagging, Z, zigzagging, or D, skip lagging?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, D.
Good job.
Yeah, right.
It is D.
Yes, I was
not aware. There's actually a website. I think it's like skiplagging.com that multiple airlines have sued because it helps you navigate... like where you actually want to go, and it will find you a two-way flight or a flight that has a layover in that city. But they've been sued, and one they settled, and one got dismissed.
Wow!
But there's like,
who cares? If they're buying the ticket, you don't use it on the way back. I mean, why do
money,
they care?
Baby?
Oh, come on!
Dom
is leading 2-1.
Oh, pressure's on, Jane.
I know.
Okay, if you tie this, then I have an idea for the last question. But all right, Jane. SAG-AFTRA issued a new warning to which performers that they would be ineligible for future membership if they work during the current strike. Voice actors, influencers, stand-up comedians, reality TV stars.
I think it's reality TV.
It's actually influencers.
Rats! Boy, I suck today.
You don't suck. No, don't stop talking about my friend like that. But it is influencers. It's basically, and I know this because I spent enough of my life on TikTok.
Right.
There's a lot of people who make the living helping to promote movies.
Sure.
And they're not performers. But a lot of them, I think, you know, eventually would like to be in SAG or something like, or writers or in WGA. And that's been a big topic on TikTok this week, as far as are you a scab if you continue to have like brand deals? And pretty much the SAG came out and said yes. Like, if you ever want to be part of this union,
are
do
the
not
influencers
do this.
Now, are they already part of the union, or are these influencers that are not part,
they're
of, the
not
union
part
that
of the union
at some point in the future may want to be?
Yeah, I think it's like potentially want to be, but also just like, you know, it's like it's still a business of relationships. Yeah. And if on the other side of this, but yeah, the conversation around if you do anything to help promote movies for struck companies, you are a scab.
Plain and simple.
All right. Well, you're down 2-1.
I know. This is not
3-1. Did you get two or two
right?
I got two.
Yeah.
You got one right?
I got one right.
All right. I'm going to come up with one on the spot and we'll just do.
So we got a minute left.
All right. Minute left. How much did Ron Johnson getting paid back for his own money?
It was $480,000.
Yeah, $400,000 is what I recall.
I think it was $400,000. Yeah, you're both right.
Okay, we're both. Well, that's what we know of, and that's the start. You know,
that
I
is
mean,
the start.
We'll see. He put a lot of money in. He's got a lot of money coming.
He's got a lot of money.
He already got the money, and then he came out with a statement like, "I'm not expecting to get anything." After he already cashed the check like 2 weeks before. I mean, come on, Ron.
All right. Well, Dom. This is as fun as I thought it would be.
Oh,
thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
It's so fun to
thank
always
you
have you here.
Me.
I'm sure when I'm on maternity leave, Janeway, call you in to, as backup once
for
or twice
sure.
to have some fun with her.
Jane, I'm here for you, girl.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Professor Greg Nemeth is going to be here to talk about policies to influence us to buy electric cars. And I actually am thinking about if I should make the jump, but it's also a jump in price. So finding the justification of that. All right. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The clothes.
You don't know me well.
Tony,
this is the story of a very special woman. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician or an entrepreneur. Her knowledge was limitless and still is. She could also make monsters disappear, especially those that lurked in the shadows under the bed. Once, this woman put back together a teenage girl's broken heart, which had been shattered in a thousand pieces. Just by giving her a bear hug, she masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.